Teaching and learning during COVID-19 has presented unprecedented challenges. Where do you go for answers? Busted Pencils. This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk on Devil Radio 92.7.
Of course, this is where you go for answers. Where else would you go? Please don't go to the New York Times or CNN or any of those other mainstream media that continues to insult the educators who are educated, who speak education. Jimmy, you got something?
Brother Tim, you're mainstream in my heart.
Thank you, Jimmy. I appreciate that. But we just had, thank you, Nobel, Teacher Nobel, coming in and talking about the realities that are actually facing teachers as they, quote, go back to classrooms and trying to put out a perspective out there so that people can go, look, it's not about teachers who don't want your kids back. It's about teachers that want to make sure that we do this safely. And then the other part was, hey, and this is where I'm going to welcome our return, incredibly most favorite teacher ever, Teacher Joanna. Welcome to Busted Pencils. How are you?
Hey, Tim. Thanks for inviting me back.
Well, I appreciate you agreeing at the last minute with a text. I'm like, I can text Joanna and see if she'll come on the show tonight. She will.
Yeah, yay. You know I will.
I love it. But no, so Joanna, I threw the article to you, and this is going to link to what Nobel was talking about, because she was talking about, teachers are quote, experts, right? And we're like, okay. So New York Times, quote, and here's the title, in their own words, why experts say elementary schools should open. And I was like, cool. And then I start reading it. 175 different experts were interviewed for this piece. And I was like, yes, this is going to open up some eyes, because experts are finally going to weigh in. And there was not a single expert talking about what it means to be an expert when it deals with teaching and learning in classrooms and instruction and childhood mental health and all of the, they were all just, I'm sorry, but they're smart people. They're pediatricians, they're epidemiologists, they work for ivory tower universities, they're deans of schools of medicines, they're experts. But I was a little bit upset after I read through the whole article that there was not a single teacher asked, not once, not a single researcher in education, not a single cognitive scientist, not a single health and family relationships expert, not a single person that deals with what actually happens once kids get in the building. Joanna, you read it. What was your thought?
Well, I had the same reaction when it said, like, I thought when they said experts, they'd mean school experts. But I feel like this is kind of what the problem is that, yeah, we have people who are in medicine, and I thank them and appreciate them sharing what they know. But that needs to be combined with what we know as educators in schools. And so, and actually, I don't think that there's an expert yet in pandemic teaching. So there's that too, where I'm like, who are the experts? Like, who's figured this out really well?
I'm pretty sure, though. Wait, hold on. If there's any experts on pandemic teaching, Busted Pencils has been talking about it for at least a year. So we've got some expertise. No, great point, though.
You're right.
No, but that's an incredibly. I mean, that just thinking about that. I mean, we have no idea, right? I mean, we're doing the best we can. We're doing a lot of good work. We're trying as best we can, but teaching and learning during a, 365 days of quarantine in a pandemic, what do you mean? Here's what experts say, it's safe to go back.
Well, and then it was really disheartening to see, honestly, I'm not pity party person, but the low opinion of teachers that were expressed by who we're led to believe are kind of like our equals, where we're like, we're highly educated, we're specialized in our areas. And I really was like, it was really hard to read.
It was,
Tim, honestly, because I was like, then I was like, I want counseling, or I want something like, you know, how Prince Harry has left the royal family because he's like, I can't handle, you know, I don't want my family being in the paper all the time and have it be lies. I'm like, teachers need the same kind of like celebrity protection in a way of like, we are constantly opening things up and reading things about us that are not true or that are assumed.
Or assumed, right? And that's it. I mean, here it is, New York Times. And, you know, I went read through the comments, too. And, of course, I also had to put my own comment down, which I'm going to read in a second. But
you were in the 356 comments?
Oh, yeah. And actually, when I commented, I was number 40 at that point. So I'm pretty sure. But I got 30 different people recommended my comment. Let me read. You know, to the New York Times, and I did reach out to both of the authors to come on the show.
That's how you do it. That's, Tim's,
you know,
like,
I was
hey,
just like, hey,
let's talk
I'm
about
so,
it.
I guess New York Times busted pencils. They were like, it's kind of a step up for the New York Times to go to busted pencils. They were probably a bit frightened. I get it, but it's still out there. Anybody, New York Times, CNN, any one of you want to come on. But I wrote, quote, not a single expert that can testify to the fact that prior to the pandemic, schools were rife with inequities and learning conditions that hindered the education of our most vulnerable children from minority and poverty-stricken families. Screaming, nothing has been done to address this reality, and now all of a sudden, the science says go back to school? What science? The science on teaching and learning and schooling is clear. Schools were not equitably educating our children pre-pandemic. Now it's science from medical professionals that enables a return to school in order to stop the learning loss and emotional well-being. Sorry, but none of you used science pre-pandemic to make claims that school needed major reforms to be safe for learning to occur pre-pandemic. How can it all of a sudden be safe now? That was my comment, because I was like, Joanne,
and there you go.
Well, I mean, you know, it's an educated educator writing educationally, but that's where this piece put me, because I was like, I get you're an incredibly smart person, and you keep saying it's safe. But when the things you say that come out, and again, the authors would say, "Well, look, we just polled the experts. It really wasn't our thought piece. We just polled them, and then we reported." Okay, fine. But if you work for the New York Times and you write a piece called "Experts Say It's Safe to Go Back to School," then as you, Joanna, and I both looked at the title, we went, cool, experts.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's so interesting, because I did not see your comment when I had that thought myself. And then once I get past my own, like I brought up my own emotion being like, the low opinion, then the second is like what you said, the larger issues related to education, that even though the most educated people, some of our doctors, are unaware of, right? Schools were a significant source of stress pre-pandemic. Mm-hmm. We were dealing with children with alarming anxiety pre-pandemic, and we do not have the resources. So I know that is, I don't know if I'm going to like totally bag on them completely. It just seems to be the larger issue of this complete misunderstanding. But right, the idea that schools are like these idyllic, super healthy, safe places that kids need to return to, right? Let's use what we know and that energy to make that happen.
Right. If we're going to come back, and you know, Johnny and I, we've been saying this with different guests, if we're going to come back, well, then let's recognize, first of all, pre-pandemic, the calamities, the catastrophes, the unsafe conditions, the bad airflow, the overheating, as Nobel talked about, you know, heating systems that just stay on. And in fact, this was mentioned in the comments, because some school districts' heating systems are controlled out of state, which has always been an interesting phenomenon for me to see. Why can't I just turn the thermostat down in my own building? Oh, you can. Mm-hmm. You got to make a call to Houston. Like Houston, they send people to the moon. I didn't know that they control heating systems in schools too. Houston is so awesome. But, you know, all of those things, it's like that was when we closed a year ago. None of that was remedied, right? And so now, and I like what you just said, what is an expert of pandemic teaching? Because when you say come back, and you're saying the conditions, what they're really saying is the science says the spread of the virus can be contained. That's really it. If you look, if you know, and I'm going to be fully on board with science. That's what science, that's what they're trying to say is like, look, if you, and this is the other part, if you have airflow, if you have masks, if you have social distancing, if you know, it's safe to go back. Okay. All right, fine, but what about, is our teachers ready to deal with the trauma that our children are going to bring back with them?
Well, there's that, and then what I would like I said, when I was like, oh, experts, where I'm like, okay, so are we going to combine what they do know, like you said, about that mitigation and, you know, transmission, to what we know about how children learn and how the conditions of being separated and faces covered and limiting movement is not ideal for learning and neuroscience and can actually be a little more traumatizing. I mean, again, but given time to work through it, we could work through it. But that's what I'm wanting to see is like, let's combine what you say can be safe in the, you know, outer circumstance and combine that with what we as educators know is the inner reality of children and the conditions that have to be for learning. But this idea that bell schedules and buildings alone are what is going to really help kids with significant needs and just any kids, like, I think there's a way, but we really need time to develop it. And to do it well.
But that's it. You know, that's the part, is the experts. If we put together experts and talked about, it's not just safe to come back, because that's one thing that we're worried about. Like, but what's best if
it's
we
not
do?
Just safe. It's like, does it make sense?
Does it make sense? You know, and that's where, you know, we got one more segment, Joanne. I'm hopefully you're going to hold on to come back, because that's where we want to talk about is going like, okay, I get you when you're saying it's safe. I know what you're saying, mitigation and stuff like that. But have you asked the people about what's going to work best when they do come back? Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded, Education Talk, along with Teacher Joanna. Call us 844-967-2789. Back after the break.
Great stations have teamed up to bring you one tremendous impact. Chicago's Progressive Voice, WCPT 820 AM, Minnesota's Progressive Voice, AM 950, and Devil Radio 92.7 Madison. Representing the best independent progressive talk stations in cities in America, we partnered to offer one affordable advertising package that can cover the Great Lakes region. Now your company or cause can reach our highly engaged combined monthly audiences of over 250,000 listeners, plus our combined worldwide streams and digital footprints at one low price. Local service, creative, and ad production available. For an impact second to none, call Devil Radio today at 608-819-8255.
This is Dom from the Devil's Advocates. Cody and I have been doing this show for almost 10 years, and we've never had a more engaged, dialed in, and motivated audience, and we love them for it. Now is the time for you to reach the greatest audience ever. Call now and advertise with the Devil's Advocates and Devil Radio, 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM. Get your message out and let the greatest radio audience know how to support your business. Call Luke at 608-819-TALK. That's 608-819-8255. Or go to darnwi.com.
Stream Progressive News and Talk 24/7, as well as download exclusive podcasts and interviews at DevilRadio927.com. That's DevilRadio927.com.
Hi, this is Dom from the Devil's Advocates, inviting you to join us on Patreon.com. Patreon allows for our audience to access exclusive programming not available anywhere else and gives you the ability to directly support the greatest radio show ever. History's patrons have supported the works of Michelangelo, Leonardo da Vinci, Monet, and now with your support, the Devil's Advocates. So please go to Patreon.com and search the Devil's Advocates to pick your subscription. That's Patreon.com and the Devil's Advocates, the greatest radio show ever.
Talk radio made for the 99%, only on 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM, Wisconsin's home for Devil Radio.
Open and informed discussion on the challenges schools, teachers, and students face during COVID-19. This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk on Devil Radio 92.7.
Welcome back, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, Tuesday night. Teacher Joanna talking with me, talking about the experts that the New York Times found to tell us that it's safe to go back to school. We were so excited that there was an article with 175 experts quoted and polled. We were like, man, this is going to be a good one. And, well, it was 175 I think angry doctors that would just love
doctors who really like having their kids in school,
who just
no matter what.
Really are like having a tough time having kids at home, you know?
Yes.
You know, it's like, look, you know what? Do your thing. It's like we're trying to do what's best for kids. And that's what, you know, kind of at this last segment. And if you want to join us, please give us a call, 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. But when we think about best, right, you know, and Joanna, we were talking about, okay, experts and even coming back. I remember this, too. We were talking about this during break. People on Facebook Live heard us talking about this. But there was a time coming back to school this year in the summer where even I was tapped to be part of coming back to school planning. And I remember even talking to you, feeling like, man, this feels like people...
Right, we might have some energy.
Yeah, it's
we
got some energy. To... People are like, you know what? Given the fact that we're going to be restricted, given the fact that we're going to be hybrid, given the fact that some kids are not going to come to class, given the fact that some kids are going to have to stay placed in their areas, given the fact that teachers can't move around, here are some really cool ideas about what we think we can do.
Yes.
Right. And that was exciting because those were experts saying, OK, doctors, when you say it's safe scientifically from a spread point of view, which you've now said. You had an opportunity, though, to tap us early on to say, and when we're ready, we're going to be really ready. But we missed that. And in fact, we just said, you in fact, though, said, I mean, you've been face to face.
Yeah, there
sorta.
Wasn't a lot of will to really shake things up. Mm-hmm. And part, again, I guess I can't believe I'm making all these excuses. Part of it, I understand where we were like, okay, in the middle of everybody being a little chaotic, can we do these significant changes? But in my mind, they wouldn't have been that significant. It would have just been like what. It just really could have worked. I had in mind more of like a rec program model or, you know, like outdoor camp type model. But, you know, change is really hard. You know, bureaucracy is pretty thick and change was pretty hard. And, Yeah. So, right. We had our summer of excitement and there seemed to be some hope and possibility, but that quickly dissipated. And then by and large, what I think happened most places was it really was like business as usual, like
throw
a mask on it and just do the same thing.
Yeah. Throw a mask on it. But talk about, you know, you talked about this too during break. I mean, what's really happening in your face-to-face sort of classroom? You know, when it's safe, but what are the interactions like as compared to pre-pandemic?
Well, my colleagues really describe it, first of all, being completely overwhelming. You know, that it's kind of like you can either follow all the safety, following all the safety protocols is a job in itself. Just really monitoring that, making sure that's happening. There's all kinds of forms to fill out. There's all kinds of like keeping track of things. So what we've found is like, you can either like really pay attention to safety and not really teach that effectively, or you can teach effectively and not be very safe. That's kind of the dynamics. And you can easily kind of get lost and wrapped up in the not as safe side. Because again, it's what comes naturally to you.
Well, that's the thing. You say experts, right? If you're an expert on teaching and learning, you would have a sense of going, okay, ideal conditions for expert teaching and learning is movement, relationship, talking, facial gestures,
proximity.
Things that you can't see, proximity behind the mask, all of these things. So when somebody says, you know, look, get those kids back to school because it's harmful for them sitting in front of a screen. Joanna, what are they doing in your class?
Well, okay, I'm not technically in person myself at the moment, but everybody else around me is.
But students that are in school are,
yes,
are essentially doing what?
Well, they're largely still on their screens. That's, you know, because one, a lot of people are doing simultaneous teaching. And so you do have a group of students in front of you, like in your room.
Right.
And at the same time, you're like live streaming to kids who are still at home.
Yeah, that's so my daughter's at home. The teacher's teaching her and her teacher is teaching kids that are sitting in the classroom at the exact same time.
Right. And so that really then limits kind of what you can do. You basically have all of your assignments on whatever platform that you're using. You know, that's where your presentations are, or your notes, your even, you know, if you're using videos, it's really still all online. So many of the students are in school, but they're still largely on their screens. It does not look like traditional teaching. There's no, you know, science labs going on. There's no you know, that group work going on. So yeah, I guess that's it. It kind of looks the same as what's happening at home, but you're at the school.
So look here, Dr. Pediatrician, Harvard Medical School Dean out there. The reality that what you want is you want normal. The problem is that when you say it's safe, the reality in schools is it still ain't normal. And you're not going to get normal. And so when we talk about this, and Joanna, thank you for being on the show tonight. Thank you, Nobel, Teacher Nobel, for being on the show tonight. But, you know, let's have this. We want to have experts, you know, talk about this. And that's not to say that medical doctors, pediatricians, healthcare workers shouldn't be part of this discussion. But where are the teachers? Where are the researchers? Where are those who understand cognition? Where are those who understand all of that? Busted pencils, fully leaded. Back next week. Thanks for listening.
Want more Busted Pencils? Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Busted Pencils, or log on to BustedPencils.com for blogs, podcasts, and more. Join us again next Tuesday for Busted Pencils on Devil Radio 92.7.